Welcome to Beyond FY2, the podcast from the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Glasgow that will give you all the information that you need as you move on to the next stage of your career. You'll hear from trainees who have been where you are, trying to make sense of all the different choices you have and make one of the most important decisions affecting your future. In this episode, we'll be chatting with Zoe Douglas about broad-based training and how she decided on what specialty was best for her.
I wonder if you could possibly just start off by telling me a bit about yourself, where you've come from, what your path's been like.
So my name's Zoe. I'm currently in my second year of broad-based training and I'm working in Inverness. I studied in Dundee and then I did my FY1 in Aberdeen and then I did my FY2 in Inverness. And whilst I was there, I decided I wanted to stay in Inverness for a little bit longer and get a bit more of experience in a few different jobs. I liked everything I'd done in medicine so far, really, and I wanted to get a bit more experience. So at that point, I applied for broad-based training. And my first job actually ended up being based in Fort William. So I was in GP for Fort William, and then I did medicine in Inverness, and I'm currently training in psychiatry. So it's good. I love living in Inverness. It's great. Anyone interested in kind of outdoor stuff, I do a lot of walking, running, swimming. So that's kind of most things I do sort of out with work as well.
To those who might not know, how does broad-based training differ from other major specialties that we're looking at? So for example, IMT. What is broad-based training, if there's some way to summarise that?
Yeah, so broad-based training, so it's a two-year program, and in those 2 years you do 6 months of general practice, 6 months of medicine, 6 months of psychiatry, and 6 months of paediatrics. And essentially when you're in each of those specialties, your job is the same as like a CT1 in that specialty. So, you know, a GPSD1, an IMT1, a psych CT1 or a ped CT1. And you kind of immerse yourself in that specialty for 6 months. So things like your portfolio requirements, your teaching are all the same as the core trainees in that specialty. And then at the end, after your broad-based training, you go directly into second year of training in one of those four specialties if that's what you decide to do. And you don't have to re-interview or reapply. So for example, in sort of September time, I speak to my training program director and say, this is what I would like to do. And you're slotted into the SD2 sort of quota for that specialty. And the kind of understanding is that, you know, even though you may have only just done the 6 months, that you've kind of gained experience in that 6 months and also sort of transferable competencies, so that you might not be exactly the same level as a CT2, but you build up and it's kind of appropriate to get you in at that stage. The other thing that's also kind of, I think, quite unique to broad-based training is whilst you're in each of the 6 months, you get what's called this 10% time, which usually most people do as a two-week block, where you get to experience a sort of sub-specialty of one of the four specialties. So, for example, when I was in GP, I spent 2 weeks with the sexual health service in Inverness. When I was in medicine, I spent 2 weeks in child and adolescent psychiatry. And that's a full 2 weeks separate from your study leave or annual leave. That just kind of gets you to gain, I guess, a full picture of what these specialties are like and experiencing parts of jobs that you might not experience normally throughout your training program.
And so obviously there's a lot of variety given that you're in, you know, four different specialties throughout that training period. But is there a way that you could describe kind of what the average day is like?
So I guess, I mean, I can describe my, I guess I can give really brief what my average day has been like through the jobs that I've done so far. So I guess my average day on GP, once I got kind of settled into being a kind of SD1 level, is I would usually have my own clinic in the morning where I would see patients. I usually, as a trainee at the practice I was at, I would get sort of 20-minute appointments. So I would see patients, so a mixture of sort of new patients, return patients, with all sorts of, you know, anything can come in GP. And then in the afternoon, often the way my practice would do it is they had a duty system where you would see patients who were asking for on the day appointments, and that was via face to face and the telephone. And as a kind of SD1 level, you'll see patients independently. There's always somebody on who's supervising you, so you can talk to patients about them at any time, and also you have a lot of time after to catch up about patients with them. When I was in medicine, I spent, I guess, most of my time on acute medicine, so an SHO level, so that would be a mixture of night shifts, back shifts, clerking patients, post-take ward rounds, and also days for clinic and things as well. And currently I'm on general adult psychiatry, so my day at the moment, I tend to, we've got a ward rundown where we discuss all the patients in the ward with the consultants, nursing staff, and then I attend the ward reviews with the consultants. That's just sort of assessing how patients progress on the ward, any changes to their medications, and I'll also participate in assessments of new patients who are either been concerns have been raised about them at clinic and they feel they need admission, or patients brought in by the police, or patients that self-present to assess their mental health. And I'll see them usually with experienced nursing staff and discuss them with the consultant about the next plan, whether that's them getting admitted or going back into the community. So it has been quite varied. I guess the other thing that's on psychiatry is you're often, as a junior doctor, looking after patients' sort of medical needs as well. So taking bloods, ECGs, making sure kind of on top of that sort of stuff as well.
How did you choose and perhaps why did you choose to go into broad-based training?
So I guess part of the reason I chose is I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. Say there was lots of things I'd really enjoyed through medical school, and also I hadn't had the chance to have a GP job in my foundation years, and I wasn't quite sure about applying for GP training. So I thought, I read about broad-based training, and I was also, at that point, I was actually keen to be in a training programme. I was quite kind of interested in things like getting a lot of teaching time and kind of building up my portfolio. So, but I guess I wasn't quite ready to kind of commit the full way. I wasn't sure enough of anything at that point. So that was really the main reason why I picked an opportunity to get a GP job and get some variety and just kind of continue to sort of develop and learn, I guess.
So how did you gain experience to apply for that? How did you gain the kind of experience to get into broad-based training?
Well, I mean, I guess some of it had come from the fact that I'd done a few of the jobs before. So I'd had a medical job and I'd had a pediatrics job. So I'd already kind of worked a little bit in that department and knew I wanted to get some more experience in them. And I guess things I also did was I tried to explore a bit about what training was like in each of those specialties. So speaking to trainees that were doing IMT or that were doing GPST. And I also tried to kind of go on some courses and things like that, sort of pediatric courses. And I guess that was kind of the way I tried to gain experience. That it was difficult to get experience in GP for me. I think that was just through COVID and things like that. But I guess taster weeks as well. You can do taster weeks in lots of different things. That'd be probably another way to get experience.
Sure. And do you have any kind of specific advice around the application process for broad-based training?
So the main part of the application, when I applied for broad-based training, it was during COVID, and the main part of the application process was the MSRA. And I would say kind of, for us that was the main thing that was taken into consideration, so doing a lot of preparation for that would probably be my main advice, because it's quite a general examination. You know, it covers, it's, if people don't know how it works, it basically is a multiple choice clinical test, so similar to kind of your medical school finals exams, and also there's a situational judgment test as well. And now lots of different specialties are using it. It was originally just GP training, but broad-based training uses it as well, and I think different specialties like anaesthetics and things, and you get a score on that. And when I did it, that it was that score that decided whether you got a job, what position you were put in to get a job. So probably the most important thing for me was doing lots of preparation for that exam, which was, you know, there was the resources online that I used for that. I think now actually the application process has changed again, and there is an interview process which I've heard is similar to GP interview, but I can't comment that much because I didn't actually have to do that as part of my application, just with it being during COVID.
Of course, yeah, I imagine it would be quite an interesting time during COVID, and things might have changed quite a lot through that. So slightly different tack here. What do you love about your job in broad-based training? What is there anything that you particularly really enjoy?
So I think I really love, I really love how varied it's been. I feel it's helped me in every single specialty. So, you know, when I was in medicine, having done a GP job and knowing what it's like to be a trainee in GP was really, really helpful. And the same coming to psychiatry, knowing what it's like in medicine is really helpful. And I guess you feel part of what's good about being in training and in broad-based training, you are, as I was saying, kind of integrated into being like a core trainee, is you're part of a team, which is always really good. You know, you kind of get involved in training, you get to know people. It's quite usually, especially in, I also love working in Inverness, and especially in Inverness, all the teams I've worked in have been quite close-knit and supportive. And I've really loved the 10% time as well. I think every time I've done that, it's really sort of reinvigorated me. It's a chance to do something a bit different, to do something that you're interested in, and often it's just really difficult to get experience in otherwise. You know, it's pretty rare to be able to have sexual health jobs or CAMHS jobs, so just getting that extra experience, I think for me, has been really, really, I've loved that. Yeah.
At the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Glasgow, our members really do represent the full multidisciplinary healthcare team, with opportunities to join a number of boards, committees and networks. As a trainee, you could join our trainees committee, giving you the opportunity to have a say in the wider issues that affect your role, including training requirements, career progression, less than full-time training and well-being.
What do you mean by 10% time, and what does that allow you to do?
So that's the thing that's kind of unique to broad-based training. That's what they call it. The idea is that 90% of your time in the 6 months is in the specialty you're at, and 10% of the time, which works out as about 2.5 full weeks, or as 1 day a week, you can basically do something else that you want, as long as it is related to the broad-based training specialty. So, you know, when I was in GP, I had 2 weeks completely out of GP in doing sexual health, so kind of shadowing, doing clinics, I went to a conference, and that time's protected. So it's in addition to sort of study leave, annual leave. So I guess it's just time to kind of gain experience in something different. That's what it's set up to do. Because I guess the idea of broad-based is that you maybe don't know exactly what you want to do. So kind of widening your net and being exposed to everything. So that's why it's called 10% time, I think, is because it's 10% of the total placement of 6 months.
What advice would you give to someone who's perhaps, you know, approaching their application, approaching the end of their FY 2 year, someone who's thinking about applying to broad-based training? Is there any specific advice you'd give to them?
So I think I would probably just say apply for it. And, you know, it's good to, I think one of the things, even coming up to applications in general, is it's quite good to have options. So I think there's so many good jobs out there. There's lots of good training jobs, there's lots of good clinical fill jobs, and broad-based training is a really, really good option, I think, for people who are not sure, because it's I find it very useful to actually see what training is like in each of the specialties. It is like a little taster. So if there's things you're thinking of but you're like, I don't really know what it would actually be like to train in that specialty, broad-based training is really useful for that. It gives you, it's like, sometimes I feel like I'm like a little, it's like being a spy in each of the specialties. You can kind of, you see what the trainees are like, if they're happy, how the training program works. So I would, you know, I would definitely, I've loved it, I would definitely go back and I would apply for it again. I guess it's one of the reasons as well I did it is the training is recognized as training. So at the end of the 2 years, it feels like whether or not you know, it's an option, you can just do the broad-based training. You don't have to go directly into the specialty, but it's recognised as training. You've gained a lot of transferable skills. There's good opportunities doing exams, sort of learning for that. So I would say if you're thinking of doing it, it's definitely worth looking into more, applying for it, because you're in a training programme, you get that experience, but you've not, I know what I was worried about and what a lot of people worry about is committing to a really long training program really early on, and you're not doing that. So you kind of get a lot of the benefits of being in a training program.
Do you have any kind of final thoughts, tips, hints, tricks for board-based training?
I mean, I guess I'd say the one thing I think that I maybe didn't realise about broad-based training is that because, as I say, you're in this six, you've in each specialty for 6 months, and then at the end of that, you're expected to kind of be roughly at ST2 level, is it's definitely not an easy option. So it's, you know, often your competencies and your portfolios they're quite strict what you have to achieve in that 6 months. So it can be quite challenging at times, and it's definitely achievable. You keep on top of it, but it's just something to consider that the portfolio, you know, it does take quite a lot of effort making sure you can achieve all your mini KEXs and case-based discussions and everything in the time that you have. So that was one thing I think I hadn't really thought of so much until I'd gone to broad-based training. And I think it's one of these things that is challenging and hard at the time, but actually when you come back and look, you actually think, you know, I've achieved a lot in that 6 months, and there's a lot of really good stuff in your portfolio, but it can be a bit challenging at the time. And I guess the other thing is people do ask you all the time what broad-based training is. I think more people are, obviously that is the purpose of this podcast as well, so maybe more people will know now, but not everyone. You often have to be very clear about what your role is, because it's not something, I think there's only about 14 of us each year, so it's not something a lot of people have heard of. But I would say I've really loved it, and also just I would put in a plug for being in the Highlands and everything as well. It's a really great, I've found it like a really lovely place to like live for the last few years and to work, and there's often opportunities to experience working in different places. You know, I was in Fort William, lots of my colleagues even doing different things. One of my other colleagues who did broad-based training worked in Isla for a couple of weeks, so I feel like I'm now doing like a PR stunt, but I really really enjoyed broad-based training, and I'm enjoying living up here as well.
And it's great to hear you've had such a positive experience with it, Zoe. So hope you enjoy the rest of your training as well.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Beyond FY2. Don't forget to check out our other episodes, which we'll be adding to on a regular basis. If you have any ideas on what we could include and what's helped you as you progressed in your career, we'd love to hear from you. Please give us an email at connect@rcpsg.ac.uk.